Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Now, Eric, yesterday we were discussing this article that was in the Salt Lake Tribune back in September of 2011, titled BYU President Warns About the Perils of Perfectionism. And he was actually telling his students to avoid the foolish personal mistake of perfectionism. And we know in talking with many Latter-day Saints that that does seem to be a problem that many of them struggle with. And even this own article brought out a quote by a student, a sophomore from Provo, who actually said that perfectionism is one of those things we are struggling with. And of course, the question we asked yesterday is, why did even such a subject need to be broached? It seems pretty obvious that the reason it had to be talked about is because that is a problem in Mormonism, this idea that you have to be perfect. Now, I've had Mormons deny it, but yet at the same time, as we demonstrated yesterday, there are Mormon leaders that certainly did teach this. One of those, of course, would be Spencer Kimball, mainly out of his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book that has been suggested for Mormons to read from General Conference, no less, from various Mormon leaders, and a book that is very popular among Mormons even to this day. But today, I think what we'd like to talk about is some more of these examples of why Mormons tend to believe this. Now, certainly this is not an issue that we would find being addressed in this manner in our own Christian churches. And Mormons would say, well, that's because you believe in the concept of grace and you somehow have this idea that we can just go out and sin and do whatever we want and everything's okay. That's really a horrible caricature. But I would say, no, it's because we do have, I think, is a good grasp of what grace is really all about, an undeserved favor, an undeserved gift that is given to us. The question was asked by George Q. Cannon, who was a member of the First Presidency. Now, this was said back in October of 1874. You can find it in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 17, page 231. He said, "Be perfect here? Yes, it is man's privilege, the Latter-day Saints believe, to be as perfect in his fear as God our eternal Father is in his fear, or as Jesus in his fear, or as the angels in their spheres. Said Jesus to his disciples, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection, then, is to a certain extent possible on earth for those who will live lives that are in agreement with the mind and will of God." Now, yesterday, Eric, what did Mr. Samuelson, the president of BYU, say about that passage in Matthew 5:48? He actually went to the Greek, and what did he find out?
Well, yeah. he said in the article that it is corrosive and destructive and is the antithesis of the healthy quest for eventual perfection that the Savior prescribes, and very clearly said that Jesus Christ commanded his followers to be therefore perfect, but he said the original Greek text reveals that perfection meant being whole or complete rather than flawless.
And we've been saying that for years. And at many times when we brought it up and explained it exactly the way Mr. Samuelson has explained it, we've had Mormons actually just blow it off and say, like, we're incorrect. Now, what we read yesterday from Kimball and what we've just read here by George Q. Cannon, a member of the First Presidency, whom, by the way, has much more authority over a BYU president, certainly does not seem to go along with what Mr. Samuelson said. And you and I happen to agree with him. We agree that Samuelson has gotten it right. The word teleos in the Greek means exactly that.
Right.
It's about a completion or a maturity. It's not talking about sinless perfection at all, because as we've mentioned many times, nobody could be as perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. Such a notion is ludicrous.
But Kimball does say perfection is an achievable goal.
Now, again, where do we get this? Where do Mormons come off with that kind of a conclusion? Let me just read to you from a book. I'll have you read from Stephen Robinson's book, and then I want to read from Robert Millett's book. The story where, in fact, I wouldn't even bring it up publicly if Robinson himself didn't bring it up. But he talks about how his wife went through a very serious struggle in her faith and basically was ready to give up.
Well, I'm picking the story up on page 15. It's in the middle of the story. I don't have time to go into deep detail, but she was having a tough year and exciting year, but lots of things happening. And so finally, after almost 2 weeks, I made her mad with me nagging one night as we laid in bed. And she said, "All right, do you want to know what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. I can't do it anymore. I can't lift it. My load is just too heavy. I can't do all the things I'm supposed to. I can't get up at 5:30 and bake bread and sew clothes and help the kids with their homework and do my own homework and make their lunches and do the housework and do my Relief Society stuff and have scripture study and do my genealogy and write my congressman and go to PTA meetings and get our 1 year's supply organized or to go to my stake meetings and write the missionaries." And then, end quote, she just started naming one after another all the things she couldn't do or couldn't do perfectly, all the individual bricks that had been laid on her back in the name of perfection until they had crushed the light out of her. And then she continues and she says, "I try not to yell at the kids, but I can't seem to help it. I get mad and I yell. So then I try not to get mad, and eventually I do. I try not to have hard feelings toward this person and that person, but I do. I'm just not very Christ-like. No matter how hard I try to love everyone, I fail." And Stephen Robinson says, "Well, that was the beginning of the longest nights of our life together." And I mean,
But doesn't he go on to say that the reason why she was going through this struggle is because she really didn't understand?
Well, this is that's exactly right. On page 17, I asked her if she had kept the covenants she had made in the temple. And again, she said, "I try, but no matter how hard I try, I don't seem to be able to do all that is asked of me."
So part of those covenants in the temple is to what? Keep all the commandments. Yep. And what happens in the temple when the character playing Lucifer looks into the camera and says, "If they don't live up to all these covenants, they will be within my power." Now, mm-hmm. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's basically what happens. Can you imagine that kind of fear that goes on a very devout Latter-day Saint who's just had the devil look him right in the eye and say, "If you don't live up to all these covenants, you're going to be in my power"? You can wonder why a woman is going. Now again, this woman sounds like a commendable Proverbs 30 woman,
sure,
who's trying her best to do what she needs to do, but she's realizing this is such a huge burden. In his book, Grace Works, After All We Can Do, Grace Works, I find that to be an interesting title, by Robert Millett, he says, "At the beginning of a stake presidency meeting some years ago, the stake president read aloud a letter from a young woman in one of the wards. I knew her very well because I had served for a time as her bishop. She and her husband were the parents of three beautiful little girls. The mother, whom I will here call Janice..." Stephen Robinson's wife is called Janet. I don't think they're talking about the same story.
We've talked about that. Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're exact.
There's some differences, and that's why I'm reading this, because here's another example of a person going through this. Was active, involved in everything. She worked faithfully in young women, was always the life of the party at ward socials, and sought out opportunities to contribute to parent-teacher functions, civic issues, and community affairs. Go, go, go was her motto. The stake president read us her letter, which said simply, and I want to go through this very quickly. "Dear President, I want to do everything the Lord has asked me to do. I want to do everything the church has asked me to do. In order to do so, I decided to make a list of the things that I have been asked to do in the church during the last 6 months. A copy of the list is enclosed." Then followed about 3 pages of items. It was quite an imposing list. She ended with, "I have only one question. How?" She signed the letter, dejectedly, "Janice." The stake president turned to his first counselor, "Ted, isn't that unfortunate?" Ted nodded soberly. The president turned to me. "Bob, does this letter get to your heart the way it gets to mine?" I answered that it surely did. Good, he responded. I want you to deal with it. What would you like me to do? I gulped. Just meet with her for a few minutes and see if you can help her. I agreed and made the appointment. What I had thought would be a brief pep talk turned out to be a rather lengthy meeting. I listened as Janice poured out her concerns for more than 2 hours. It was a very intense emotional meeting. Her concluding statement was something like this: I just can't do it all. I can't be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect church leader, the perfect citizen. I'm tired. In fact, I'm worn out. I tell you, I just can't do it all. Interesting. This story sounds very similar to what you just read out of Stephen Robinson's book, Believing Christ. If, in fact, these are two different people, it shows that, tells me that it sounds like it's a widespread problem to a certain extent, especially in light of the article that we referenced earlier. But if it's the same person, again, it was worth mentioning twice in two different Mormon books. Why is that? Now, these two authors are trying to get across the idea that these people, or this person, must not have really understood Mormonism. And had they understood Mormonism, they wouldn't feel like that. But yet, you and I both know, Eric, in talking with Latter-day Saints, that this is the very essence of how many Latter-day Saints feel. Like the Pharisees of Jesus' time, the Mormon Church puts this huge burden upon the shoulders of its people, wanting them to live up to this very high standard, a standard that many Mormons are actually proud of, but quite candidly, I think, would admit is something that they're not even attaining themselves.
Bill, we only have a minute left, but there are, I'm sure, some Mormons who feel the same way these two ladies felt. What would be your advice for them if they say, you know what, I can't do it all? What's your answer, Bill?
My answer is you don't need to do it all, because it was all done on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the total price for your inadequacies and for your sins and your shortcomings. He says that his burden is light. The gospel is a burden that is light. If the Mormon Church really has the gospel, why does its members so often express this heavy burden that is upon their shoulders? Obviously, it's because it's not the gospel.
And they don't have what the Bible says is the peace that passes all understanding.
No, as long as you throw works into the mix, as long as you say that there's something that you must do to add to what Christ did, you will never have that assurance, and you will not have the New Testament gospel.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.